This is The Book and the Spade, a report on the latest discoveries and developments in biblical archaeology. Here's your host, Gordon Govier.
And here I am reporting from Turkey as our Book and the Spade Biblical Archaeology Adventure Tour gets underway. I'm joined by John DeLancey once again, my travel partner. And we are in the days ahead, following in the footsteps of the Apostle Paul, but starting out at a very interesting historical and geographical city of Istanbul. There's a lot of history in Istanbul.
Yes, Istanbul is a wonderful city to visit. It sits right there on the Bosporus Strait, which means half of Istanbul is in Europe and the other half in Asia. And it is a city of great historical value.
It intersects a little bit later than the biblical period in terms of the history. You have Constantine moving the capital of the Roman Empire to Constantinople, as it was called in those days. And that's a significant time in the history of Christianity when it became legal to be a Christian within the Roman Empire. Previously, there had been a lot of persecution.
I think what we saw there, Gordon, like the Hagia Sophia Church, now a mosque, actually has some historical roots back to the 4th century when Christianity was the official religion of the Roman Empire.
So going down through history, we have Muslim period coming in a few hundred years later, and also the Crusaders. They sacked Constantinople during the Fourth Crusade. And then later it becomes the seat of the Ottoman Empire. That's where the archaeological interest begins in terms of some of the discoveries from Israel that end up in the museum in Istanbul. But unfortunately, we weren't able to see them.
Yes, that was quite a disappointment, Gordon. We hoped to see the Solomon inscription, the Gezer calendar, and the temple warning inscription. All of these items were found prior to 1917. This is the date when the Ottoman Empire came to an end, of course, with World War I. But I'm not really surprised that these items were sort of off-limits, I think for maybe political reasons, because they were found in Israel, but what a great value these are, and it's too bad that we didn't get to see the original inscription, especially the Siloam inscription that was found in the 1880s, found at the very end of Hezekiah's tunnel.
There's still a lot to see there, even though we were disappointed in not being able to see these discoveries from Israel. There's history within the bounds of modern-day Turkey that goes back, for instance, to the Hittite Empire. In front of one of the buildings there, I saw several lions that had been brought to the museum from somewhere within one of the probably the Hittite capitals that had been guarding the doors of palaces or temples. The Hittite Empire is significant in biblical history.
Yeah, we could retrace the Hittites and the Sumerians, certainly about the time of Abraham. But we were able, Gordon, to see the sarcophagus of Alexander the Great, an amazing thing to encounter. Most believe that he was buried in Alexandria, at the north end of the delta in Egypt. And there's not a complete consensus that this was the sarcophagus that held his body, but that's at least one primary thing that we were able to see within the museum itself.
So we'd still recommend a visit to the archaeological museum in Istanbul, even if you weren't able to see the discoveries from Israel that are supposed to be on exhibit there.
It's still worth it. They had a whole wing dedicated to what was found at Troy, which is in the northwestern corner of Turkey, and a lot of great Greek and Roman statues, gods and emperors and so forth. So it was quite impressive in that way, but unfortunately we missed some of the important items and artifacts that we were hoping to see.
So we have now moved on to Cappadocia, which is more towards the central part of Turkey. And I have to say the visit to the churches, that the underground churches that are part of a visit to Cappadocia was interesting and stirred a desire in me to find out more about the early church fathers, just because of the information that you see by wandering through these underground churches and the unique geography and geology of Cappadocia.
I think we learned that there are over 100 underground cities, but when we visited these very unique rock formations, there were over 1,000 of these what are called rock churches, and certainly they developed most likely in the 4th century, but they flourished within the 5th and 6th centuries A.D., and of course they probably struggled with some of the theological issues that were discussed, like at the Council of Nicaea and Chalcedon and other gatherings among church leaders back in the end of the 4th century. But just to understand that believers lived here in this region in Cappadocia, that connection with the Bible, Gordon, I think is a strong one. That region is only mentioned twice in the Bible, in Acts 2, I think it's verse 9, and then in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Of course, the Acts 2 passage refers to Peter sharing at the day of Pentecost, and most likely these were Jews who were in Jerusalem, and they heard the message of Peter and the gospel and of Christ, and they returned to this region, bringing with them their converted faith. So just the role that these first century believers played in perhaps even being influential in what would develop centuries later as a very significant Christian community living here.
If you just joined us, we're talking with John DeLancey during our Book of the Spade Biblical Archaeology Adventure Tour. We are currently in Cappadocia, and this morning the adventure tour aspect was emphasized with a hot air balloon experience. We were up in the air with maybe 100 other hot air balloons soaring over the unique rock formations of Cappadocia. That was a unique experience.
It really was. Now, I've only done a couple other hot air balloons in Luxor, Egypt, and I thought that was spectacular, and it really was. But I think this tops it. This is one of the best venues in the world to see all these unique rock formations from. I think we went over 3,000 feet, about 100 meters, and our pilot had about 2,000 hours of experience, a great guy, and a great team. But what a wonderful perspective, and a very quiet experience, being so far up in the quiet, still air, and yet looking down at this unique geology of the region.
And in the very beginning, we were much lower, just kind of floating amidst the rock formations, too. That was a little bit concerning. You thought you might smash into one of them, but we had a very good pilot.
Yeah, we did. He offered a joke. Have you ever watched the movie The Titanic? We were heading towards this one chimney rock, and of course he was able to elude it quite skillfully. But what a great experience, a beautiful sunrise. There were about 20 in our group of the 32, so the majority of our group experienced this together.
So there's adventures to be had in Turkey, but really we're here for the biblical perspective, and typically you think of Israel being in the Holy Land, but Turkey has a lot of connections to the Bible.
And that's what's coming up today, actually, really starting today as we drive to Tarsus. We're going to be talking about the Apostle Paul. Of course, his hometown was Tarsus. He was a Jew who lived there, and yet he had Roman citizenship. And as we progress through these next few days, we're going to be talking specifically about sites he visited during his first, second, and third missionary journeys.
I've had the pleasure of being in a Bible study in the book of Acts. Beginning at the beginning of this year, we've gotten as far as the first missionary journey just in the last few weeks, and walking through that journey and realizing that we would be following in the footsteps of Paul within just a few more days was kind of amazing. So we're really looking forward to the next few days and what we're going to be seeing.
Yes, and those sites will include Antioch, Seleucia, where Paul and Barnabas started their first journey. This is Acts 13 and 14. Of course, we won't be able to go to Cyprus, which is an island controlled by both the Turks and the Greeks, but we will visit sites like Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, And then I think the great site of Antioch Pisidia, where we will see a tremendous amount of archaeology there.
I know the Biblical Archaeology Review just recently had an article from Mark Wilson and Ben Witherington, written by Ben Witherington, about a discovery they made during a visit to Antioch and Pisidia. They found an inscription that mentioned Sergius Paulus and indicated that this leader, this ruler from the island of Cyprus that Paul and Barnabas had met when they were there, and it seems, according to the account, actually converted to Christianity, he had family connections in Antioch and Pisidia, seeming to indicate that maybe with the letter of reference that he sent along with Paul and Barnabas was one of the reasons that they chose to go there and actually had such an impact that's recorded in the book of Acts.
Yeah, Paul's first sermon was recorded at Antioch Pisidia, and I just love how archaeology and the Bible really complement each other. Not just one, but actually three inscriptions with his name, Sergius Paulus, were found and discovered, which really tells us that indeed the biblical narrative, even the book of Acts, and specifically the mission trips of Paul, are historically accurate as it preserves names of actual people.
So we've got that to look forward to and much more that we'll be reporting on in the future as we continue on our Book of the Spade Biblical Archaeology Adventure Tour. Our thanks to John Delancey of Biblical Israel Ministries and Tours for being a good partner. This is our fourth chance to be together with you, and we always have exciting adventures on our tours, and we appreciate your leadership and what we're learning through this experience.
That was my conversation with John Delancey in Cappadocia early on in our Biblical Archaeology Adventure Tour to Turkey. Our group of 32 travelers was just getting acquainted, and we were all looking forward with eager anticipation to what we would see in the days ahead. We were anticipating what we would discover along the way about the ministry of the Apostle Paul, and also later in our journey about the seven churches from the book of Revelation. In our next program, we'll feature an unscheduled guest from the tour, Mark Wilson of the Asia Minor Research Center. We have a copy of Mark's book, Biblical Turkey, that we will be giving away to a listener. All you have to do is send an email to radioscribe@gmail.com. Tell us where you're listening and how long you've been listening. We'll draw a name from the responses and send the book. We're not going to add you to any mailing list or send you spam. We just want to know where people are listening. So please drop us a note at radioscribe@gmail.com. Let us know you're listening. If you're getting us on Spotify or some other podcasting platform, a positive review would also be helpful to let others know about our program. Our website is radioscribe.com, where we have breaking news videos from the Israel Antiquities Authority, information about artifacts, our Biblical Archaeology News magazine, and other resources. That's radioscribe.com, and the email address is radioscribe@gmail.com. I'm Gordon Govier. Thanks for tuning in. Join us again next time for more Backgrounders on the Bible through Biblical Archaeology on The Book in the Spade.
The Book in the Spade is produced by Scribe Media. For information on biblical archaeology resources or obtaining a copy of this program on CD, go to our website at radioscribe.com.